Today's New Testament reading is Revelation chapter 1, verses 4b through 8. As always, you're welcome to follow along in your own Bible or device, or to take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words from Revelation chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from him who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It's not atypical for a music publication to do a best albums list of all time, or best songs of all time, or to take a particular artist and do a poll and say what is his or her best song of all time, and then to rank them to give a top 10 list or something like that. You've probably read those. You may have participated in one before. For all I know. But Rolling Stone a few years ago took a rather odd survey asking for their least favorite Bob Dylan songs. Just a strange question. What are your least favorite Bob Dylan songs? Now, the good news for Bob Dylan is that the top answer was none. Okay? So most of the respondents said there are no least favorite Bob Dylan songs. If you're a Bob Dylan fan, you may share that sentiment. But there were some others that made the list. One of those, the number two song, the number two least liked Bob Dylan song, is a song called You Gotta Serve Somebody. You Gotta Serve Somebody. Now, when it came out in the late 70s, it was largely popular. It reached number 24 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. But once again, today, the survey was given, or recently the survey was given, what are your least favorite Bob Dylan songs? And number two was You Gotta Serve Somebody. I don't know if anybody knows that song off the top of their head right now. I'll get to some of the lyrics momentarily. But at the time that it came out, even though it was relatively popular, there was one person who couldn't stand the song. There was one person who this song completely irked, both the song itself and what was behind the song. And that person was John Lennon. John Lennon hated this song. John Lennon said, "You gotta serve somebody. I guess he, Bob Dylan, wants to be a waiter now." He disliked it so much, he wrote a parody of the song called Serve Yourself. It was an angry, profane, explicit song railing against Bob Dylan's recent conversion to Christianity, suggesting you should serve only yourself and pursue your own happiness, and any other viewpoint is rubbish. I don't think I have to tell you all that John Lennon was fairly hostile to organized religion. I'm not asking you to go home and burn your Beatles albums or to turn off the radio if you hear a John Lennon song. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I think if you were aware of John Lennon's life and philosophy and outlook, you know he was not a fan of organized religion. And so when he caught wind that Bob Dylan in the late 1970s had had a conversion experience to Christianity, well, that rubbed him the wrong way. Because John Lennon believed that organized religion or serving some kind of religion or serving God was just antithetical to the Christian experience, and therefore he wrote a parody song, You Gotta Serve Yourself, is what he wrote. But he was railing against this song that Bob Dylan had written that said, you may be an ambassador to England or France, you may like to gamble, you may like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, still you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a state trooper, you may be a young Turk, you may be the head of some big TV network, you may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, you may be living in another country under another name. Still, you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. You might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, you might be sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. You know what the next line is? Still, you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. Still, you're going to have to serve somebody. There are about two or three verses that I didn't quite get to. It was a long song. It was John Lennon's least favorite song, and apparently, even as of late, for Bob Dylan fans, it was one of their least favorite songs. It's fascinating. It's actually pretty catchy. If you go pull it up on the internet or look for a live performance, it's actually a pretty catchy song, kind of bluesy. Makes you want to tap your foot, maybe dance. You got to serve somebody wasn't a very popular notion. You got to serve somebody, and as Bob Dylan said it, you can either serve the devil or you can serve the Lord. That was not a very popular notion for people who would come to love Bob Dylan. And despite the backlash, I get the sense that even this early on in Bob Dylan's Christian journey, there was something he got and he understood that it takes a lot of us to figure out, doesn't it? At least in this song, from early on, he got the notion that you can serve Christ or you can serve somebody else. For him, it was a zero-sum game. You serve Christ or you serve somebody else. Period, point blank, for him. More directly, you're serving the Lord or you're not. He made a whole song about it. And his song, as simple as it may be, teaches us an important truth, that we are servants of a kingdom, the kingdom of Christ. Today, churches around the world are observing what we call Christ the King Sunday. In many churches, this is the last Sunday of the Christian year, whereas next week during Advent is when the Christian year begins in many traditions. This is the last Sunday of the Christian year for many churches around the world, and we end the year, the Christian year, proclaiming the reign of Christ. No matter where we're going, no matter where we've been the previous year, Christ remains on his throne. Today we read a passage speaking to the lordship and the kingship of Jesus Christ from the book of Revelation, one that often confuses us, makes us anxious, not sure what to make of the images in this book. A few weeks ago, we had a Wednesday night Bible study on apocalyptic literature, which is what the book of Revelation is, trying to make sense of words such as the words of Revelation, the words from the book of Daniel, certain words even in the Gospels, like in the book of Matthew, talking about the sheep and the goats. What does this imagery mean? Well, apocalyptic literature, such as Revelation, in short, is a book revealing or unveiling by way of a dramatic metaphor and image the truth about what was, what is, and that which is coming. And in this context, affirming to and telling the people under persecution during this time when John wrote the book that evil is present in the world and that we will go through tribulation, sometimes even to the point of death, challenging us to remain faithful to the kingdom of Christ and giving us the assured hope that Christ will have the victory and that the saints will persevere. In verse 5, Jesus, the faithful witness, the ruler of the kings of the earth. You got to serve somebody. And here we have it, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the ancients would have been all about this Bob Dylan song. He gave a survey to the ancients, and they said, well, you've got to either serve Jesus or you got to serve the world. They'd say, oh, yeah, that's Bob Dylan's best song. Because that's got some theological truth to it right there. They'd say, yeah, you serve Jesus or you don't serve Jesus. There's no in-between. There's no, you sort of serve Jesus, but you also serve the principalities and the powers of the world. You either serve Jesus or you serve Rome. You either serve Jesus or you serve the empire. You either serve Jesus or you serve wealth. You either serve Jesus or you serve status. What do we think the kingdom truly is? On this final Sunday of the year, of the Christian year, you still got a month left in the calendar year. What do we think the kingdom is? Is a kingdom what you think of the kings and queens of old that you would have read about in a world history class? King John, Mary Queen of Scots? Is a king or a queen something that you think about when you're watching some television program or movie, such as Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones? Or maybe your idea of a king or a kingdom or a queen or a kingdom is something you see in the world around you, and that's what you think of. For instance, you may think of the royal family in England as the essence of a king or a queen or royalty. You may have woken up at 4 a.m. a couple of times in the past 10 years to watch the royal wedding. Did anybody do that? If you pay attention to the British monarchy close enough, you learn that the king and the queen and Prince Harry and Prince, who are they? William and they don't actually have any rule. They don't actually govern. They don't legislate. In fact, in a strange sense, the monarchy must remain neutral in all political matters. Isn't that fascinating? That a king and a queen and a prince and a princess, they must remain neutral in political matters. They have more of a ceremonial role or diplomatic role. And not that that's not important, it is important. They are very important figureheads and influential figures. Strange fact, the queen actually must give consent to all legislation that is passed in the House of Commons, in Parliament. The queen must ultimately sign off on or give consent to anything that is passed in the British government. But do you know the last time that the monarchy struck down legislation? It was in 1707. And so ever since 1707, no matter what came through that parliament, the monarchy said, check, 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 check. The monarchy, as we know it in the royal family, doesn't rule in the sense of a king and queen as we might think. But there is royalty around the world that does rule in such a sense. In fact, recently you've probably heard and are made aware of and hopefully are rather disturbed by the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia, who ordered the assassination of an American journalist who had simply gone to an embassy to get wedding papers. That role is more than ceremonial. That was a kingly figure who uses his authority to kill and rule a journalist who had written against him. Today's passage is a reminder that King Jesus is unlike the kings of the world. Christ is more than a figurehead. Christ is also not a king who exercises tyranny and oppression. But Jesus is a king of love. Jesus is a king of love. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." We also read in the scriptures that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says the kingdom of God is, or I'm sorry, John says the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus says, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. As we discussed a few weeks ago, Jesus says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of heaven. And in Colossians we read, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Jesus is a different kind of king. Jesus is a different kind of presence for the church and for the world. The kings of the earth will reign for a short time or momentarily or temporarily, but the rule of Christ is forever. Today we acknowledge that this king is different from the kings of the world. Today we celebrate the reign of the King of Kings. But to celebrate the king also means to take our role as servants seriously. We're not simply here to call Jesus king as a ceremonial head. We are here to proclaim Jesus as king and that we are faithful, unyielding servants. Do you identify more with the persecuted church or the Roman persecutors? These are questions that we must ask ourselves as we celebrate the reign of Christ. Do we identify more with the persecuted church of Revelation or the Roman persecutors? Do you identify more with the royal family, a family of status and ceremony? Or do you identify more with the King of Kings who came to serve? Are you in a position of privilege, prestige, and self-made power? Or are you in the position of self-sacrificial, self-giving love? You're going to have to serve somebody, yes. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Let's pray. Jesus, we're thankful for the kingdom, for the way that it gives us boundaries and rules and ways that we can live our lives in a way that is pleasing to you. But we also realize that it is simply more than that. It is a transcendent presence. It is your presence here on earth that you have invited us to live into. And so we pray that as we reflect on King Jesus, we would remember how he is different from the kings of this world, and how we as subjects are different as well. We have a unique role to play as servants of the kingdom, and help us as we look forward to the new year to find ways to serve the king more faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.